All right, let's do this into hour number two. Good, good Friday show for you. Ton of content still to get to. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I do have an open phone line in the U.S. and in Canada. Pretty much everywhere, 1-800-636-8686. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up later on this hour, the driver of the number two car, Brad Keselowski. Next hour, Atlanta Braves third baseman, Austin Riley. I've got more thoughts on the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to get into Golden State and the situation involving Klay Thompson and the fact that somebody just lit 30 mil of his stack on fire. And we'll talk about the injury situation, too. In fact, we'll break that and some other things down with a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast. As you know, a friend of the program. He's back for more. Howard Beck. Howard, good to have you. How are you?
Doing great, Romy. You?
Good, Howard. Great to talk to you. I want to start by saying you've got a great piece up on Bleacher Report today about the fact that we're witnessing the NBA playoffs without LeBron for the first time in 14 years. I want to ask you about that in a minute, but based on what we've seen from LeBron in the playoffs over the past decade plus, how does that inform, Howard, the way we watch Kawhi and Giannis last night?
Well, the fascinating thing, and I think one of the good things for the NBA, it's a mixed blessing because ratings are down a little bit, and they certainly miss LeBron. I think we all miss debating, analyzing, dissecting him to an extent. But it's given oxygen and spotlight and room for all of these other stories to emerge and other players to kind of show who they are. Kawhi Leonard, at times in this postseason run, has drawn comparisons, not hyperbolic comparisons, but valid ones, to Michael Jordan, not at that level, right? But his style of game, the way, the diversity of his attack, Kendrick Perkins and others have been on TV saying it. And so Kawhi has been probably underappreciated because, look, he's an understated guy and he was in San Antonio all those years and even winning a finals MVP didn't seem to do it. But with LeBron off to the side for the moment, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant for that streak that he was on before he went down, Giannis, all these guys are getting a little bit more exposure because we are not all sucked into the LeBron vortex. And I say that, with all due respect and as somebody who certainly spends a lot of time in that vortex and enjoys it. LeBron is fun to watch. He's fun to talk about. I don't think there's a single player, not only in today's NBA, but the last 15 years probably, who generates as much interest and an opinion as he does.
Listen, Howard, I mean, for perspective, I think Kawhi does belong in that conversation. He had 35 last night. That gives him 11 playoff games this year with 30 or more. The only guys to have more before the finals are Jordan and Olajuwon, so he's earned the right to be in that conversation. But it's not just what he's doing on offense. What do you make of what Kawhi and the Raptors are doing to the Bucks on defense, especially in the half court?
Yeah, they've really exposed where the Bucks' weakness is, or at least highlighted it and attacked it. And look, we could talk about the fact that the Raptors, they're an elite defensive team, as are the Bucks, and that the Raptors, against anybody, are going to make you a little more ordinary, or just challenge you, make you work a little harder to score. But I think that, I don't want to go too far with this, but I think that what they've also shown is that Giannis has another stage of development left. Giannis is the likely MVP. He got my vote, and he earned that in the regular season. But if they fail in this conference finals, and that's really too strong of a word, I feel like the Bucks are so far along, or so much further along than we could have anticipated. Nobody projected them being in the conference finals before the season started. That it's going to show that Giannis still has that other level, and that's fine. He's 24. He is just now emerging as a superstar in this league. And he's done it by being just an impossible force to stop when he's in transition or when he's got a lane to attack the basket. But as we know, he's not a shooter yet. He's working on it. It's coming. I give him credit for at least shooting in games, unlike Ben Simmons, who's allergic to even taking a jump shot. But Giannis has to smooth out the jump shot. He's got to fix his free throws, for that matter. And that will take a team like Toronto with great defense and force them to make other adjustments. Right now, they've been able to just simply close off the paint knowing that he's not going to kill them from the mid-range or from deep.
Howard Beck joining us. All right, so all of that said, if you had to say it right now, Howard, how do you see the rest of the Eastern Finals going? Does Toronto wrap it up tomorrow night?
Oh, man. I've felt like this series was a coin flip even before this was a series. It always seemed like these two were on a collision course for each other. They were separated by two wins in the regular season. And there's, you know, there's no obvious advantage one way or the other. And granted, the Raptors have won the last three in a row, and now all of a sudden it looks like they've got all the momentum, and we're all, you know, victims of recency bias, and so it's easy to predict the win, especially going back to Toronto. That is where I would lean also, but it's not going to surprise me at all if the Bucks have one more kick in them to get this thing back to Milwaukee and make it a Game 7. So I wish I had a prediction for you, Romy. I just don't. I think it's still a coin flip.
Fair enough. Howard Beck joining us. Now back to your piece about LeBron. I mean, there's so many different ways of calculating how long it's been since there was a postseason without LeBron. One of them, as you pointed out, is the last time he missed the playoffs, AI was the scoring champ. Giannis was 10 years old. And since then, the Knicks have gone through nine coaches. How incredible is that run of playoff appearances and final appearances then from LeBron?
It's crazy. I mean, we've taken him so much for granted. We just don't even think twice about it. He's just there always. And I know people are like looking at this now and saying, well, it just his time has passed and LeBron can't do it anymore. LeBron's numbers this season, Rome, were basically on par with where they were a year ago. He averaged 27-8-8 and still at a really high very high efficiency. He just didn't have help around him, and he got hurt for a month. And the Lakers had a bad roster and are just it's just been kind of a mess. They get him the right help, he's right back in it. But, yeah, 14 years since he was last out. It was 2005. The Sonics were still in Seattle. It was a different world. I mean, George Bush was still president. We hadn't even got – like, Obama hadn't had a single term yet the last time LeBron was not in the playoffs.
It's insane.
A staggering streak.
It's insane. Howard Beck joining us. I mean, it's amazing when you look at it that way. So right now, LeBron is spending time with his family. You know he's watching the playoffs. But based on your reporting – and your knowledge of him, how do you think that he feels about not playing in the playoffs?
Yeah, not. It doesn't take a lot on this one. Like anybody's guess would be the same as the reporting, which is that it's driving him nuts, and I think he's probably bored out of his skull. Look, he had the groin injury, and I don't think he was ever fully 100% after it. And so to an extent, after all the games he's played, and he's got like, I don't know how many extra seasons I calculated, three extra seasons at least over the last 13 years, that he's logged, getting a rest for his body and his mind is probably not the worst thing, but it's also definitely not what he wants. And it's nice to go to Cabo with the family. It's nice to go to your kids' basketball tournament in Atlanta, which he did. It's nice to work on Space Jam 2, but you know that's not what LeBron wants to be doing right now, and you know it's killing him.
Howard Beck joining us, a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. So, Howard, then you've got this notion of what's it like without him. As you point out, the ratings are down a little bit, but it's given guys, other guys, a chance to step up. But then you've got Golden State. Draymond Green told you, quote, "It's just weird to look over there to know that you're going to play somebody completely different. It's kind of a mind bleep," end quote. That's a really strong comment. What do you make of it?
Well, as we know, Draymond and LeBron have, you know, kind of this love-hate thing going on. You know, Draymond's been on LeBron's show, The Shop. They're buddies off the court. They have, wrestled on the court almost literally. They've had some low moments, but there's just, I think, great respect there across the divide. And this entire Warriors dynasty has been defined by LeBron. Like, among the other things that are striking about this, their four finals up until now were all against him. And beating him the first time was the crowning achievement of becoming champions for the first time in this era. And losing to him the next year was what forced them to reassess and then go grab KD. And so everything that they've done has been against the backdrop of LeBron James. And this is the first time where he's just not figuring in. Now you could say, well, he wasn't in the East anyway, so they weren't going to match up with him in the finals again. True, but there was a good chance that they were going to meet in the playoffs somewhere in the West had the Lakers made it, and those ratings would have been through the roof because LeBron versus the Warriors is really compelling theater. No matter how much people might say that they were getting sick of it, the ratings were always off the chain for the last several years in the finals, and LeBron versus the Warriors again would have been great theater again.
So, Howard, if these guys are being really honest, Golden State, I mean, do you think they would admit to you or anybody else that there's something of a letdown because the Raptors or the Bucks are not the LeBron Cavs?
Yeah, I don't think the players will look at it that way. It's just not the way that, that players think. But I think for the fans, it's going to be a mixed bag too. It just depends on where people fall on that LeBron spectrum, whether they love seeing him play at the highest level on the biggest stage, or whether they are tired of him, as some people are, and I get that too. But I think for the Warriors, you know, to just to make a fifth finals, something that no team has done since the Celtics back in the 50s and 60s, is huge. And if they win it and they three-peat, and they'll be the first team since the Shaq Kobe Lakers to do that, they'll have 4 in 5 years. They won't care if it's against Kawhi, against Giannis, against LeBron. It's just the achievement is incredible in its own right.
Howard Beck, my guest. All right, so finally, in the meantime, Howard, of course, the NBA Finals will play out next week, and it's going to be without LeBron, but apparently Kevin Durant will not be ready to go at the very start. How worried should the Warriors be about Durant's health right now?
This is really weird, Rome, because when he went down that night, of course, the immediate speculation was Achilles, and that's it, he's done, and what does that say for his future? It turns out to only be a calf, but, I mean, it's one where every time that they give an update and he's still far off, you wonder how serious it is. Do we know the full story yet? I think it's concerning. In terms of just the short term, look, can they win a championship if he doesn't play a single minute in the finals? Yeah, I think they can. I think that what they've been showing us lately is that the heart of that old team, pre-KD, still exists. Not as deep as it was, not as young, but Curry, Clay, and Draymond are the core of a phenomenal team still. And Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, those guys have all been there since the start. And can they beat the Bucks or the Raptors without KD? I think they can, but I think it's going to be a much tougher task, clearly. And, you know, and then we'll have all the questions about, well, what does it mean that they won without him? And what does that mean for his free agency? And, we'll spend the next month talking about it.
We will. Senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report and the host of the Full 48 podcast, Howard Beck, once again in the jungle. Howard, great job as always. Thank you very much. Always good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Romy. Thank you.
That was fun. Thank you, Howard. Well done. I agree with him. They're not the same team without Kevin Durant. I would never say they're a better team without Kevin Durant. They might be more entertaining. The flow might be better. But they can still win it all, even if he does not play a minute in the finals. And then what would that mean to his free agency? All right, coming up later on this hour, Brad Keselowski, Austin Riley next hour. I want to talk about Golden State and Klay Thompson, jammed by the voters. And it's going to cost upwards of $30 million potentially. I want to get into that. Drake is still everywhere. I can't believe it. Another day, and I'm going to have to talk about this guy yet again. The beef that nobody wanted. The weatherman versus the world. I'll get to that too. Guys, you know that new Untuckit shirt that you've been eyeing? Well, you could save 25% on everything in stores and online with Untuckit's annual Memorial Day sale. It's going on right now. Everything in stores and online is now on sale for 25% off. Traditional button-downs look long and baggy when they're worn untucked. You know why that is? Because they were never meant to be worn untucked. Every Untuckit shirt, though, has just right length. It comes in more than 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger guys of all sizes and ages can look great. Now is the perfect time to save on bestsellers like their famous wrinkle-resistant linen, sweat-wicking performance shirts, and more. All 25% off right now. Visit Untuckit.com or any of Untuckit's 60-plus stores across the country. As always, you'll get fast, free shipping and returns on every order in the U.S. Now is the time to save 25% off site-wide and store-wide. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, and John Rahm lead the charge as Justin Rose defends his title. The Charles Schwab Challenge. It is this weekend on CBS. Brad Keselowski, the driver of the two, is coming up in 20 minutes. 1-800-636-8686. I just put that out there. I don't need it. I'm loaded, but I'll take a good telephone call if I can find it. JC in Calgary, back on Twitter, quote, You've got beef that nobody asked for. I'll take it. Yours, Beaks. Apparently still fat and still a tired take. And Brian C60 tweets, Ritt and the flight deck sitting next to each other look like a before and after picture for a hair club for men. Personal appearances, still not show fodder. Allen in Raleigh tweets, if Seattle still had an NBA team, Mr. Ciara would have crushed back-to-back bottles of healing water.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal. Hey, Seattle. Tell you what, whenever something good happens in business, you get in bed. You get in bed and you stay in bed.
Go Hawks.
Hey, Seattle, I got your water. Not only do I got your water, I got concussion preventing water.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
That's what Allen and Raleigh's talking about. He's talking about healing water.
See y'all in the morning.
See y'all in the morning. When you wake up, that concussion will be gone.
Go Hawks.
Yeah. I got a new deal. I got a lady. And I had a concussion. But not anymore.
Go Hawks.
You know what else I got? I got a bed. And you want to know what else I have in addition to that bed? I got a mattress.
We got a deal.
And I got a deal. And you know what I'm doing with that bed? I'm lying in it. So is my lady. Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, she said it.
We got a deal.
I got stacks.
Hey, Seattle.
And I got a bed.
But I'm gonna see y'all in the morning.
And I got water that fixes concussions. I got it all. Now why don't you get up out of here? So me and my lady can get nice.
See y'all in the morning.
Hey, Allen and Raleigh, don't be tweeting that crap at me. I shouldn't be going down that road anymore. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
I just hope my man's on a Casper mattress. Promo code Rome. Go Rome. Dear Jim, I'm not afraid of the moment.
I'm not afraid of the moment.
Signed, Ritt. When he proposed building the interstate highway system.
It's lit!
Well played. All right, then. 1-800-636-8686. Do I take a telephone call or do I talk about the Golden State Warriors? Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. Bucks, Raptors has been a really fascinating series. Back and forth. The only people happier than NBA fans about that, it's got to be the Golden State Warriors, right? Because while they were going to get the same amount of rest, no matter how long the Eastern Conference Finals played out, you know they can't be hating the fact that it's going to be at least six games and maybe even seven. This was supposed to be, then, a pretty quiet time for them. But then, yesterday, then the news. News like Klay Thompson did not make an All-NBA team. And as a result, he will not be eligible for a Mega Max extension. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details of the salary cap, but let me hit you with this. Not making one of the three All-NBA teams meant that Klay just lost potentially 30 mil. Now, what if somebody dropped that on you? What if you found out about that from the media? What if you had no time to prepare or react? Well, that's exactly what happened to Klay. But Klay being Klay reacted exactly the way you'd expect him to react. Klay being Klay, he reacted like a freaking boss.
Really made the All-NBA team, which would have elevated your potential.
Oh, I did? Already came out?
Yeah, it came out today. You were like right behind Beal. We got, or no, right behind, we got 13. Kyrie. But you barely, yeah, Kemba. Kemba got it. You were a couple.
I mean, that's cool and all, but like, when you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not, I'd rather win a championship than be 13 on NBA, so it's all good.
Do you not like that affects potential contract statuses, you know, all NBA stuff, because that would have elevated you down a bit?
It is what it is, you know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing. So I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
This dude, man. This dude is so good. So if you've seen that clip, I mean, you heard it, but let me lay it out for you really quickly. And if you've seen it, you hear him being asked, you hear him being told by beat writer Anthony Slater that he missed the team. And then who made it in front of him? Klay thinks about that for a second, gives a head shake, then an eye roll, and then, like I said, handles it like a boss. Quote, I mean, that's cool and all, but when you go to five straight finals, I respect those other guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, it takes more than just a couple of all-NBA guys. It's an all-time team, but whatever. I'd rather win a championship than be a third-team All-NBA, end quote. It's such a great line. I couldn't respect the guy any more than I already did. But it's more than just that, right? He said, I'd rather win an NBA championship than be an all-third-team NBA. Right, but he just found out that he lost $30 million, potentially. And his first words in response to finding out that he may have lost 30 mil, quote, I mean, that's cool and all.
I mean, that's cool and all, but like...
Hey, Klay, you just lost 30 mil. What's your reaction?
I mean, that's cool and all, but like...
Most people in that situation are raging. I mean, if that's not a reason to go, what is? Add that to our list of reasons to go. Somebody threatens you. Somebody threatens your family. Somebody says something racist. Somebody spits in your face. Somebody stole 30 mil from you. That's a reason to go. Not just because he lost 30 mil. All right? Let me give you another reason to go. That Klay Thompson is not on one of the All-NBA teams. Klay Thompson is an All-NBA player. How the hell is he not? Look, I'm not going to spend the rest of today picking apart the resumes of guys who made it in front of him. But who would you rather have above Klay Thompson? No names mentioned, but one of them rhymes with I-re-curving. Yeah, they do different things. But are you really going to tell me that a guy who managed to make a good team worse is better than Klay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters of all time and a lockdown defender? Hell no, he's not. And of course, it's asinine that the CBA ties media voted awards to player contracts. It shouldn't. Nobody likes that. Not the players, not the media members, nobody. Because you end up with jacked up situations like this. There are a couple of more reasons to go. Somebody stole $30 million from you, and Klay Thompson is not an all-NBA player and not on one of the three teams. Two more reasons to go. I mean, that is stupidity. But the guy couldn't have handled it any better. That's why he's an absolute boss. When we come back, the driver of the number two car, Brad Keselowski, joins us. Austin Riley, top of hour three. Then I'm going to get up out of here and take Monday off. So you want to get in right now. You're running out of time. You know, the back half of a Friday show is always busy because we have Alvin's Week That Was. We have the ATP and more. But what I have for you right now is a sports update. So here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
rolling through our Friday version of the program. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Phone lines 1-800-636-8686. Tell me Matt in L.A. is not going to be the only call I take today. Not the only call I've received, but the only call I've taken. Well, in Connor in San Diego. As promised, we are joined right now by the driver of the number two car, 2012 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champ, 2010 NASCAR Xfinity Series champ, qualified for the NASCAR playoffs in eight of his last nine full-time seasons, three wins so far this year, and you got a big one coming up this weekend. The Coca-Cola 600 is Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Brad Keselowski is my guest. Brad, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim, and it's a heck of an introduction. I need to carry you around when I go places. Thank you very much.
My man, you earned it. You've had a really nice run, and you're keeping it going. In fact, you had a win, Brad, at Kansas, which was the last points race, and you're tied with Kyle Busch for the most wins this season. So as we get to the end of May, how pleased are you with the way you've been running and how the team has performed so far this year?
Well, Jim, I don't know if I could ask for a better start than to win three races so early in the season. You know, people ask me all the time about what makes someone great in the sport, and I always tell them you got to be able to win on all kinds of different tracks. And believe it or not, you know, they say in baseball, if you can hit three out of every 10 balls, you're probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Well, in motorsports, if you can win one out of every 10 races, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. So that means you got to win about three to four races a year. If you do the math real quick, 38 races a season. And to win three races so early in the season, it feels really good. It gives you a lot of pep in your step, and we're excited about it. But, you know, the thing is, you can't get too caught up in your own press clippings. You got to go out and deliver the next week, and we're committed to doing just that this weekend in Charlotte for the big races.
It is a big weekend, and I want to get to that in a minute. Brad, it's one thing to win, but it's another to win the way you have so far. For instance, you've had some great wins in your career, but that win at Kansas by 0.205 seconds in overtime was pretty amazing to watch. What was going through your head before that final restart?
Well, big thing is, you know, NASCAR changed a bunch of the rules to the cars between this season and last season, and the way they drive is entirely different, and you have to really be adaptive to the rules changes and to the car, how it plays out, because drafting is more important than it ever has been for Ben. Drafting rule simply just, hey, if you're behind another car, the toe that you get off of their aerodynamics when you're behind them, and you have to time all of that just perfectly. Mistime it by a little bit, and you'll end up in the wall, or you won't make a pass for the lead. And the last few laps, I hit it just perfect and drove up from eighth or ninth on the restart to win the race, and it was a really, really good feeling.
Brad Keselowski is the driver of the number two. He joins us once again. Brad, you dedicated that win at Kansas to Mike Mittler, who recently passed away. What kind of an impact did Mike have on you and your career?
Jim, Mike is one of those unsung heroes, and you hear about all types of people in sports, but Mike was one of those people who ran almost like a boarding house for racers. It's a place where you want, if you were a race car driver and you had talent but you couldn't find a place to go, quite frankly for me, I didn't have a place to live, and he put me up in a hotel, and I spent 6 months living out of a hotel behind his shop in Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, before I got my real big break. And he did that not just for me, but he did that for, you know, probably dozens of other race car drivers and helped further their career. And a bunch of them made it up to the same level that I'm in, Carl Edwards, Jay McMurray, and a whole list of them, and wouldn't have been there without them. And so it really sucks when guys like that pass away because they mean so much to the sport. And they're unsung heroes. People don't hear about them every day because, you know, they don't want to be heard about every day. They just want to do the right thing. They don't care if they get the credit for it. But when those type of people are lost, it really puts a lot of things in perspective. And, you know, there's people like that in all kinds of sports. You hear about people like that in basketball or in baseball and so forth that help young athletes through their careers when they're struggling to make ends meet. And he was that guy for me and so many others, and really hurt to see him go that weekend. And it was fitting to win the race in his hometown track.
Well said, Brad. That's a really nice tribute by you. Brad Keselowski joining us. So that was the 30th Cup win of your career. It's a really nice number. I understand that you're focused on the next race and getting ready for that, but have you had a chance to reflect on what that number 30 means?
Yeah, I mean, it's look, I don't get to vote my own place in the Hall of Fame, nor should I. But if you look at all the race car drivers out there, 30 wins is kind of one of those, you know, thresholds to being a Hall of Fame driver. And, you know, no matter who you are or what you do, you want to be great at what you do. And to have 30 wins and to know that, you know, one day I'll have an opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame just based on that is pretty sweet, I'll tell you what.
That is the threshold. That is the number. There's no doubt about that, Brad. Brad Keselowski joining us, and that brings us to Memorial Day weekend, and that obviously is always a special weekend in motorsports. Sunday, you've got the 60th running of the Coca-Cola 600. What's that race mean to you?
Well, Memorial Day weekend, as you said, is the biggest weekend in racing. It's one of the few weekends, I think, of the year that motorsports kind of dominates the landscape, and we're really proud of that. Always want to put on a good showing accordingly. From, you know, Formula One competing in Europe, which is kind of like what soccer is to the States, Formula One is to motorsports. It's the big show in the, you know, Europe and globally. And then, you know, here in the United States, we have the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600, one in Indiana, one here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And those are huge races for us. The longest race of the year is the Coke 600, and I came close to winning and haven't quite pulled it off, but hopefully this will be the year. And with it being connected so closely to Memorial Day, you know, a lot of motorsports is based around those who have served the country. I know a lot of the referees, inspectors, the guys that work on the cars have all served. And, you know, the people who founded NASCAR, a lot of people don't know this, NASCAR was founded in 1948. They were veterans from World War II. So, you know, the history of NASCAR in the military runs really, really deep. And it's always a pleasure to get to continue to honor that Memorial Day weekend and give thanks to those that make it possible for us to do crazy things like drive cars in a circle or watch sports. We're so privileged to get to do those things.
Or sit and talk about the sports. What a great point. Brad Keselowski joining us. You know, back to your point about it being the longest race of the season. Brad, how much of an endurance test is that for you and for your team? For example, every race takes a toll on drivers, but how significant is that toll when you've got to go 600 miles?
It's one of the biggest challenges of the year physically. To put in perspective, the last few years I've ran that race, I've lost somewhere between 6 to 10 pounds over the 4 hours. And so that means over the last few days, I've tried to put on 2 or 3 pounds, just to be ready for it, staying hydrated, staying in front of it. You know, once you lose your physical strength, you lose your mental strength. You get tired and you start to make mistakes. And you make mistakes at 200 mile an hour, bad things happen. So, you've got to be on top of it. You got to be in shape. You got to be ready for it. It's a very difficult challenge.
Hey, Brad, as well as you've been running, you've said that the Hendrick cars are the best cars. So are you just hyping these guys so you can beat them, or do you really feel that way right now?
Jim, you know me too well.
Right?
No, they're really fast right now. They've been they struggled.
Uh-oh. My man, Brad Keselowski, Gonzo. I want to see if we can reestablish that, Adam, and finish that up.
Dana White joining us.
The Coca-Cola 600 is Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And he's already got 3 wins on the year. He's qualified for the NASCAR playoffs in 8 of his last 9 full-time seasons. Nicely done, Alvin. That's more of a Dana White thing, but you knew when you heard that little glitch. The driver of the number 2 car. Class act. Great driver. That's the theme we go to when we lose guests. Or, as I mentioned at Dana White at that time, is that what happens when I ask a question that you don't like? And Dana's the absolute epitome. Like, if Dana hears a question he doesn't like, he'll just tell you he doesn't like it.
Dana White joining us. Dana, you were pretty critical of Oscar De La Hoya for his involvement. I've been telling you how to do that.
Is that me or is that you, Dana?
I've been telling you how to do that. No, yeah, I could tell a tough question was coming, so that's my new system for tough questions.
You know how I know that's not true? It was a question about Oscar De La Hoya, and I think if we know Dana White, we know he can't wait to get that question.
Oscar De La Weirdo.
He's got a response.
Cokehead Nutball. Oscar De La Dummy.
Yeah, no, I don't think that he tried to get out of answering that question. He wants that question. He was waiting for that question. He had the Oscar De La Weirdo. Locked and loaded.
Oscar De La Weirdo.
Cokehead. It's not me. That was Dana.
Cokehead Nutball.
Actually, check that. Cokehead Nutball. Bleeping Cokehead Nutball. We may have lost Brad. All right, so if we lost him, we lost him. Alvin, if we lost him, you may have to get your disclaimer ready. I want to ask him about his family. The Coke 600 is Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Memorial Day weekend is a huge racing weekend. Go ahead. Fire it up, Alvy.
Good guy. Top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back. Appreciates the sport. Has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away. Good interview, shows up on time.
Every one of those guys is like that.
They won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest.
And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Bowyer
and his bus driver, Curtis.
I did not break the pace car.
Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bayne. The best energy.
And I love Jeff Gordon.
I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite.
And Brad Keselowski is right there.
Brad Keselowski, Gonzo. I can't pick favorites. Jimmy Johnston is my favorite. And Brad Keselowski right behind him. Let's go to the phones. I've got Austin Riley, top of the hour, but I can slip this one in before the end of hour number two. San Diego, big day in San Diego. We had Connor from San Diego in hour number one who got us started. Let's go there again. Rick in San Diego. What's going on, Rick? How are you?
Good. What's up, Jim?
What's up?
Man, I'm so honored to be in the jungle, man. I'm a SoCal native. I've listened to the show for over 23 years, and I've never called the show until now.
Great.
And man, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your commitment to excellence and the passion that you bring every day. I recently discovered the podcast, and man, I absolutely love it. You know, sustained greatness has always amazed me, like watching MJ near the end of his career, still getting in teammates' faces, and Jerry Rice still outworking every rookie on the team. Tiger Woods, all that he's been through, shaking his fist and giving it everything he has to come back and win another major. Tom Brady, to this day, working his butt off and bringing nothing but excellence and passion on the field. And, Jim, you know, it amazes me after all these years that you still bring just the passion, the energy, every single day. Mediocrity is not an option, and I appreciate that so much. And, you know, not only do I believe the Jungle is the greatest sports radio show ever, but I believe it's the greatest radio show, period. And, Jim, all the time you tell us when it comes to Hollywood, actors or actresses and athletes, you never really know these guys. And, Jim, I've never had the honor to meet you, but I think we got a pretty good idea of who you are, the kind of person you are, the father, the boss, the husband. And over the years, you know, I've heard you talk a lot about your dad, and there's no question that professionally he'd be super proud of you. But as a father myself, I bet your dad would be even more proud of the type of man that you are. And so, Jim, just because I've never called the show after listening for over 23 years doesn't mean I'm any less of a clone than these hacks that call every single week. But, Jim, when you cut me, I bleed clone. And so thank you for the time. Thank you for the vine. And, Jim, I appreciate you, man. Have a great day. I'm out.
My man, Marty. Rick, thanks for calling. Now, Rick, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Man, my man loves me. Marty's like, yo, man, don't look at him like that. Now, Rick, thank you very much. And sincerely, I appreciate that. That's not easy praise to earn, and I know exactly what you're saying. And yeah, man, I still love it. I still feel it. I still got a passion for it. I'm still going to bring the heat every single day. The XR4TI is still grinding it out. Hey, man, come pry this thing out of my dead cold hands. My job is to keep doing this as long as I possibly can, at as high a level as I possibly can, until somebody comes to me and looks me in the eye and says, yo, old man, we don't really care what you have to say anymore. You got nothing left. Beat it. Hit the bricks. And I know that day is coming. So my job is to make sure to keep that at bay as long as I possibly can. Because I still love doing this. Still love doing this. When we come back, thank you, Rick, very much. Sincerely. You just won the smack off, bro. How are you going to spend that $5,000?
Rack him.
Austin Riley, Atlanta Braves third baseman, when we return.